It's 10 o'clock at Mountain Time. That means it's time for Tom and Shane, Business and Politics. And today we want to talk about the U.S. Air Force has won a badass plane, Shane. We got a badass plane we're going to talk about today. Before we get to that, though, we need to remind you we're here every Tuesday, every Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Subscribe if you're on YouTube. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified when we're on, no matter what time zone you're in. Like us, leave a comment. Let us know what you'd like for us to talk about. So we've got quite a plane to talk about today, Shane, the F-15EX.
Yeah, it's a remarkable piece of equipment. You know, it's not cheap. You know, the original cost when McDonnell Douglas started building it was around $18 million. So it's about, what, $189 million in today's dollars, a plane. But it's great to have this conversation. And the reason is that, you know, you always hear my reference about warmongers. And this thing about, you know, the title of this article that we were looking at is the F-15EX sticks it to China and means Z's militarism now being matched with new U.S. weaponry. Well, that, you know, that's just a misrepresentation of the truth, and especially on a global basis. So we'll get into the numbers in a minute. But, yeah, it's a pretty remarkable plane. There's nine variations of the F-15.
Yeah, I know. Well, it started back in the late 60s. We may have had some in Vietnam. I know we had some kind of jets flying around dropping napalm. But this one, you know, we've got the F-35 now, too. And this is capable of 20,000 hours of flight, I guess, in its lifetime, where the F-35 is only 10,000 hours. It operates at half the cost of maintenance for those hours. And so it's a pretty nice, you know, it's a pretty nice piece of hardware. And the other nice thing, it can carry up to 12 air-to-air missiles. No other plane can handle that much.
That weight,
and, the weight. And it also has the arrow. The hypersonic one, and that flies at 3,800 miles an hour, five times the speed of sound, can probably be shot down, I would think. But it would, you got to be right on the money to do it, I guess. It's quite a piece of hardware. It flies with fly-by-wire controls. That means that when the pilot gives a command with a stick or the controls, computers take over and make sure that the pilot doesn't overfly the plane. You know, it makes sure that the rudders and the ailerons and the flaps and everything are correct if you're going to bank or dive or, you know, fly up or whatever. So it's quite a piece of equipment. All things considered, it's pretty remarkable.
It is, and you know, they've done the best they can with the suits the pilots wear and the air pressure of the cabin they have, which is a huge cost because it's flown by humans. You know, a third of the cost of these fighters is to provide the cabin for a person or a pilot. And the other issue too is it limits the capability of the plane because a human is restricted because of, you know, the G-forces that they can take. Yeah. And this plane can handle, you know, G-forces in double digits. But a human at nine Gs maybe can sustain that for a few seconds or a few, more than a minute, because it's just, they'll pass out. I mean, even with an oxygen mask and everything else.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about this computer system. As I said, it won't allow it prevents the pilot from overflying the plane to do things that are going to endanger the pilot. You know, if the G's, the computers will control how many G's the turn is.
That's right.
Even if the pilot wants more, the computer's going to say, no, thanks. That ain't going to happen.
And one of the advanced technologies on these jets now is infrared search and track, but by computer, as you say.
Yeah.
But you know, this is where the age of the golden age of pilots is coming to an end, because the more artificial intelligence they put into these planes with software and technology, you know, the less likelihood they'll have of pilots, which will, you know, reduce a third of the cost. Not, you know, and of course, because of the flying drone. But I just want to give some numbers here, because I think it's important that people understand that the difference in commercial and military, and then China in particular, in the United States. So, you know, globally, there's over 35,000 commercial airplane fleet that's been built, you know, by the different manufacturers. But you compare that to fighter jets on the global basis in the first world, not including China or Russia, 53,000. There's 53,000 of these. And so you look at these numbers and you go, what? There's what? How? Wow. That, well, yeah. And it's overwhelming. I mean, the US's current inventory is over 5,200. So they're, you know, they're close to 10% of the global, you know, fleet. But the Americans have also built them all. You know, there's some been built, you know, in Europe by England and France and Germany, but principally the United States is the you know, the builder. But when you look at that, you look at that in comparison to the Air Force, you know, that the Chinese have. I mean, their varied fleet of bombers and fighters is already 4,000 aircraft. I mean, they have 10,000 planes, but a lot of those are commercial planes or, you know, smaller government planes. But when you look at the, like I said, the fleet of the United States, it's not just the fighter jets, it's the tankers, because they, you know, they
Refueling and all sorts of
refueling
things,
in the
yeah.
air, and you know, all the other needs that the U.S. military has to move things around the world if they have to. So this is where it gets into this: who wants to challenge the United States? I mean, there's no way, you know, China wants. You have 12 aircraft carriers. You'll have 15 in 10 years, fleets, and they carry about 78 of these planes. And the planes were built specifically for their wings to tilt up, you know, 90 degrees, so they can fit more inside an aircraft carrier on the deck. So, you know, you put your 10 fleet, you put 10 fleets, 10 of the 12 you have right now, you know, in the Pacific Ocean because of an issue with Taiwan. They're outgunned, they're outmanned. I mean, every aircraft carrier fleet of the United States has the principal aircraft, the carrier, and then there's 20 to 25 support ships, including submarines, you know. So
It's
you're talking about, yeah, a massive difference.
It's quite a big difference. When Pelosi visited Taiwan to support them, Shane, if you remember, China surrounded the island with ships as sort of a demonstration, a muscle flex, if you will. And as you point out, if China would decide to attack Taiwan, the Pentagon's known for years that critical military targets are all up and down China's coast. Because you know, they're great at building massive cities, but they're not too good at building super highways from and creating bases out in the middle of nowhere. That would be better for them if their bases were interior, but they have everything on the shore because of ships. And along the coast, we could certainly take them out pretty. I think pretty quickly, and as you also point out, to deter U.S. and allied forces, they'd have to be pretty hefty to threaten. You know, we could take out a significant portion of any attacking Chinese forces. Now, it's not
That's
like
right.
Japan taking over Pearl Harbor back in the 40s.
No, and there's nowhere close. And the U.S. is always talking that you know, the Defense Department says, well, the Chinese have a bigger navy than we do. Yeah, well, you know, two thirds of the ships that they have are, you know, they're less than 100 feet long. I mean, they're just showboats.
They're
They have, you know,
show ships.
they have one They have one aircraft carrier, and they're building two or three. Oh, wow, isn't that exciting?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, like, you know, if we explain to people so they know the nature and power of their military, they might appreciate the fact that there's no need to limit it, just maintain it. That's all it is maintenance. And that shouldn't cost more than what they're funding it now. I mean, this argument about, oh, we can't sustain two wars in two different theaters in the world. It's already set up for that.
Yeah, we're already, and it's not going to be boots on the ground warfare anymore. You're not going to be going house to house to root out the Germans or whoever your enemy is. Right. It's not going to be Vietnam fighting in the jungles hand to hand, so it isn't going to be that kind of war anymore. We're already seeing that in Ukraine. As was pointed out on TV this morning, the Ukraine army is so good and the Russian army is so bad. The difference there. So, there's no guarantee, I guess, the Chinese would be any worse than the Russians.
Just to keep this warmongering going, they have all these retired military lieutenant colonels on your media, saying, the Ukrainians will never get Russia, out of, Crimea. Well, the Russians are surrounded. I mean, they're over 25,000 losses. Hundreds of tanks. Almost, over 1,000 pieces of equipment they've lost, and of course the warmongers get on and say, well, they're drafting 350,000 people. This is like Saddam Hussein fighting Iran. I mean, that's really the kind of war we're talking about.
Yeah, I remember the reports. He was amazed we had smart bombs and things like that when he's watching on CNN or whatever it was that was carrying it at the time. But
And again, the other number that's really important we've talked about before is that in the first world, the allies, I'm talking global allies outside of China and Russia, they hold right now over 100,000 drones. Yeah. And I'm not talking like little tiny drones that you can buy for 20 or 30 or 50 bucks. I'm talking about, global drones.
Yeah, big
fly.
Monster drones and whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what we're already using in many of these Mideastern countries. They're carrying heavy payloads of warfare, bombs and missiles and whatever. So. That's the war of the future. I think we'll all be it'll be a giant video game.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. Excuse me.
from containers, shipping containers. Yeah, where the guy running the drone is sitting.
Yeah,
4 or 5,000 miles away. It amazed me. They have a global drone. It's called, and it's about the size. Well, it's the same size and length and width as the 747. And it literally is airborne perpetually because it actually has solar panels on the plane. And, of course, it can fly at altitude, so it's always in the sun. Mm-hmm. And batteries on board, that's why it's so big, for the solar panels to charge. And the plane, it flies off that. It's principally a surveillance plane. Mm-hmm. But, it can fly anywhere from 10 to... Well, it can fly up to 50,000 feet. Monster bird. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the good thing. Well, the other thing we talked about, it's got all this computer stuff on it. As I mentioned before, fly-by-wire controls, mission computer, new cockpit displays, digital backbone. It's got the survivability, warfare, and threat identification system. The one downside of this plane is it can be hacked. It could be hacked by the opposing forces. So there is an issue there that, the computer system could be hacked by someone. So there's danger. That danger, yeah.
That's right. That'll always be the issue with
it will
artificial intelligence. But, excuse me, You know, it's you look at the history of McDonnell Douglas, you know, going back to the over 100 years ago through mm-hmm. World War II and mm-hmm. all the other wars in the 20th century. It's been up and down because of, it's principally a government, you know, contracted deal, other than the commercial planes.
Yeah.
So the bread and butter has always been the military. The cream was the commercial planes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, in 1996, Boeing acquired Rockwell's North American operations because they were in trouble, you know, because it's principally a military issue of contracts. And then in August of 97, you know, Boeing bought McDonnell Douglas for $13 billion. So, you know, today that's like a $1.4, $1.5 trillion.
Yeah, it's a big payday.
Yeah, so
yeah.
The U.S. has consolidated its weapons manufacturing, and mm-hmm. and as you know, everybody reports, President Eisenhower's last speech was, "Beware the industrial military complex." Well, it's massive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it employs, you know, it basically replaced NASA, mm-hmm. We're employing the most engineers, most designers. Yeah. Most, you know, MIT graduates of software
tech guys.
Tech guys. And mm-hmm. so it's interesting that you can see in the first world economies how they can transition, they can protect because of consolidation. And it works well, and it generates upside for everybody involved. And that's mm-hmm. what capitalism is about.
Yeah, that's so true. So, all right. Hey, don't forget, we're yes. here every Tuesday, every Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. Subscribe, ring the notification bell, because you'll always be notified when we're on, no matter what time zone you're in. Like us, leave a comment. We would like to hear what you think of the show and what things you'd like to hear. If there's topics you want to talk us to talk about, we would gratefully acknowledge knowing what those are, because we're here for you, and we would greatly appreciate that. So why not shoot us a line in the comments below what you want us to talk about, and we'd be happy to research that topic and put it on the air. Why not? We also need to remind you, hey, you know what, we're on radio, believe it or not. we have faces for radio, in fact. We're on every Saturday, 8 to 11. You can hear us anywhere in the world, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. There's no sign up needed. There's nothing to join, nothing you have to, no personal information you have to give. And our past shows, including this one, will be at Tom and Shane podcast at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane podcast and you will be taken directly there. Hey, we have a fun radio show, so you'll be happy to check that out. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we will see you. We'll talk to you on the radio on Saturday, and we will see you on our next podcast next Tuesday. Bye for now.